Okay. My name is Pam Young. I'm the interviewer today. Today's date is 2/23/2008. Today we're interviewing Sarah Hodge. Showalter. And we are at the Jerusalem Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. Ms. Showalter, when and where were you born?
I was born in Roanoke, Virginia, July 16, 1936. In fact, I was born on Salem Avenue, right behind this church.
So you've been here all your life? Have you always lived in this neighborhood?
I don't live in this neighborhood now, but I grew up here. I lived here up here for 30 years.
Can you tell me about your brothers and sisters and extended family you have in the area?
I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I was a foster child, and I grew up in this neighborhood, and I was everybody's child. They nicknamed me Babe.
What kind of activities did you participate in growing up?
When I was small, my foster mother owned a grocery store. We had the only black grocery store just about in this neighborhood. So I got a chance to meet a lot of people. The lady who raised me had infantile paralysis during that time, and that's called polio. So therefore, she was crippled. She took me when I was 3 years old, and I grew up working. I worked most of the time. I used to like to roller skate, but I had very little time for that. Because by her being crippled or paralyzed, I stayed there and I was sort of her right hand. Her name was Miss Irene Halper. Really, she's my mentor. Because she taught me that you can do anything you want to do in spite of adversity.
Okay. let's see. What about education?
You mean where I went to school?
Yeah.
During those years, it was segregated, so we had to be bused over to Harrison in Northwest area. We didn't have a school up here at the time. And I went from Harrison, then they opened up Loudoun, which was on Loudoun Avenue. I went back to Loudoun for my 6th to 7th grade. Then I went back to Harrison for my 8th grade. Then I went to Addison, to the 9th grade, then they built the new one that's now on Orange Avenue, and I went over there and graduated. And I also went to MCV for 2 years in Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Do you have good memories?
Very fond memories. During that time, we had a lot of elderly people, because I'm elderly now myself. Some people consider me elderly, but I don't. And during that time, the lady raised me. She did not have, she had a car, but it wasn't used to transport grocery. So within a radius from 15th to 16th Street down to North Avenue and 9th Street, I hand-delivered most of the stuff when I was a girl. So I met a lot of people, and a lot of people I could deliver groceries to were elderly. So I grew up really liking and having a real love in my heart for the elderly. And I enjoyed talking to them, and I learned a lot about life.
I bet they had a lot of good stories.
They did. A lot of good stories. Some of them were, during that time, I guess I was 10, 11, 12. Some of them were 80, 90 years old, and they still had all their factors. So, therefore, I learned a lot about what happened a long time ago, because I grew up in some of that myself.
Describe your home life. You sort of did a bit.
My home life was based on business, a grocery store. Everything centered around the store, because we were during that time, I don't think the blue law was in effect, but it was for a while, whereas you weren't allowed to sell in groceries on Sunday. However, if someone needed a loaf of bread, we would sneak them a loaf of bread. However, I grew up in the back of a grocery store, did not have a living room. I wanted a living room so bad when I was a kid, so my company and my friends could come there and sit. However, we sat in the grocery store. She was open from 6 a.m. in the morning to 11:30 at night. I had a little small bedroom to the left, and her bedroom was right there, right in the back of the store. She had a big old chair. She sat there, and a big old pot-bellied stove. We had a kitchen and a bathroom. I mostly, when I got up in the morning, I went to school. But when I came back at 3 o'clock, the girl who worked in the store, she got off. And then when I was, I'm getting ahead of myself, when I was real small, I used to give a penny, had an apple or orange or whatever. And she had a big old stool there, and I would stand up to get the food off the shelves. And I would cut her the money, she would make the change, and I would bring it back to the people. As I became older, I just about took the grocery store over when I was out of school. And in the evening when I came home, I would change my clothes because everybody wanted to make sure you had brown and white style outfits and penny loafers. We kept our shoes shine in those days. And I would get my books, sit behind the counter and study my lesson and wait on the customers as they came in until about 11 o'clock. Then we closed up. And you didn't have to lock, we didn't even lock the grocery store up, although she had plenty of money there. Half the time we left the grocery store, door was open and nobody never broke in or tried to harm anyone. And then we had had one of those slide latches on the side door. We just put a ice pick in it. And I have very fond memories. And Miss Irene later raised me, Miss Irene Howe. She was not a hero. Never, no one never knew her, but she was my hero.
Did she grow up here also?
No. She came here from Farmville, Virginia. And at a very young age, apparently around 30, she got in from type of rounds. And the same thing to Franklin. She always said she and Franklin Roosevelt had the same type of illness. And I was 3 years old. In fact, her son used to date my mother, and that's how I got to know her. And I went to stay one night and ended up staying the rest of my life there, my young life there.
Very interesting. So people would come and visit in the store?
Yes, on Sunday. On Sunday was a very special day because most of the people leave a church, come by and get a Coca-Cola and a 5 cents cake or something, and everybody congregated there. Even during that time, you know, it was segregation, but a lot of the salesmen who were white and all of us congregated in the store. And Mama might call them a name, they may call her a name, but it was all in love and joking. And we got along real well. And I don't know too much about prejudice because I always grew up around a lot of whites and a lot of blacks living in an environment of business, a grocery store. And all the insurance agents and the mailmen would come by and stay for lunch. And she was an excellent cook. Then using the recipes, they would come back and say, "All right, Miss Irene," or "Irene, what you got cooked today?" And she would have maybe some beans and cornbread, or sometimes she'd do something special, string beans and the beef roast and hot rolls, which she made, and they would rise about 5 or 6 inches high. She was known for her cooking and sweet potato pies and pound cakes that she would bake, that she could make with a wooden spoon in the bowl. And I don't know how she did that, but she would take and sit there in the chair. You know, when people lose their lower extremities, their upper extremities become twice as strong. So she could sit there and she was happy. She did not see her handicap as she didn't let it handicap her. She was a very active, motivated person.
Neat. What you talked about delivering groceries around, do you remember any of the stories the older people told you about?
During that time, they talked a lot about how. Yes, I do remember some. How that on Christmas time, that they didn't have money for gifts, that they got an orange and a candy stick, that was nice, that was Christmas. And how they walked miles to church, and they would take their shoes off and because of the red dirt, and put them on when they got to church. And they talked a lot about how they were raising hogs and killing hogs and cows and milking the cows, and how they would store the milk down in the spring. And they talked a lot about, you know what, in spite of the times, there still was a lot of love and a lot of laughter. They weren't bitter. They weren't bitter like people are, a lot of people are now, weren't angry. And there was a lot of humility. they talked a lot about the spirituality, about God, and they focused on education. You need to get an education. A lot of them may have been illiterate. We call them illiterate. They were very smart people. They had a lot of mother wit. And I miss the net. Right now I live in Northwest area, but I often think about how neighborly they were, like a family. If one was sick, everybody was sick, and how certain families would come in and help you when somebody was sick with no charge. And I often think about, I always go back to Miss Irene Haupt, how she had a grocery store, and sometimes people were laid off from work, couldn't get work, and she would fix them a grocery box and let's give them, and how blessed she was. And she could have been real rich, but she was such a giving person. And make me cry. I often think how she raised me. During that time, we didn't even have the Dasher-type wash machine. How she would get in there and soak my clothes, and then wash them. They would be snow white and iron them she could afford an ironing board. She just never brought one on an old, bench. And how I've seen her get in the wheelchair, and the store was real long. Wasn't very wide, real long. And I've seen her take that lye soap that sometimes people in the neighborhood made and gave her and scrub the floors so they were white in a wheelchair. And how she would cook and make all these rolls, and I would get up on the shelf and hand her, get her yeast and get her milk or whatever she needed. And I myself am a pretty good cook too, and I think it all came back because she didn't measure. People said, well, how do you fix your sweet potato pie, Sarah? They want the recipe. There is no recipe. You just do it by. I tried to sort of fake a recipe, but I didn't need one because I just watch it. You wash your hands real clean and scrub them with a brush. Nobody wore nail polish too much during that time. And you just take and put a little here and put it in there. And so I had a real good childhood. Although my biological mother was living. She left me and went to Boston. But I was in the best place for me. That was God, because I was in a good place for me. That I didn't meet my father until, this is not about me, it's about Southwest. I didn't meet my dad till I was 50 years old. So,
had he been in Roanoke?
I didn't know him. I didn't know who he was until I was 50 years old. I wasn't raised with much family, but I have 7 children of my own. And I'm a widow twice. And I have managed to survive and give my kids a good life. And through what Miss Irene instilled in me and the older people in the neighborhood where I grew up.
Well, very good. Do you have any other stories you'd like to?
Oh, let me see what I got.
Did you keep this grocery store? How long did you?
Being so immature in my life, I let it go, but I should have hung on to it. I made some bad choices with relationships myself. I think looking for love in all the wrong places. But I'm okay. I'm okay. As the old proverb goes, it takes a neighborhood to raise a child. This church was here. This was the largest church. It still is in Southwest. And it's school, because my school was across the bridge. And everybody, a child in the neighborhood was everybody's concern. I remember I used to, couldn't date till you was at least 16, 17, and the lady that raised me was very strict. And during that time, I don't think I had but maybe 2 friends in school that got pregnant all my 12 years. Because your greatest fear was having a child, because that was really a disgrace during those days. And I used to like to hold hands, or I used to like to neck on the corners. But I remember one time, this man who was a friend of the lady that raised me, he came out every day in that Coca-Cola. He saw me kiss this little boy. And I was so afraid that he was going to tell it. But he didn't. But he talked to me about it, which I thought was real good. And everybody's concern, you could correct somebody else's child and it was okay. And we were there for each other. And I just thank God for the type of neighborhood and the relationship that we had. I think it really helped me to be a better person. We didn't have very many professional people. Miss Golden was the only school teacher up here. And that was considered, oh, she was just so smart, because most everybody was just laborers, common working people. You had some people on social services, but everybody worked hard. And a lot of the mothers stayed at home, and those that stayed at home, so I looked after the kids. And I was blessed, because during that time, Miss Irene, she couldn't walk, and we was in the grocery store. Somebody was always home with me. I didn't go home to an empty house. And almost all my girlfriends, their mothers were at home. And no one was out. The only night that you could stay out until after dark was Halloween, and we all looked forward to Halloween. You could stay out a little bit that night. And I remember the playground was, I can't think of his name. Anyway, it was a playground over here on 10th and Selma Avenue. And we would go over there and have the sack races on Halloween. And, you know, when you, well, I don't know what you call it, when you have apples in tubs and you take your mouth and try to get them out.
And, apple.
Yeah. And we had a lot of games and stuff going over there for the kids in our neighborhood. And everybody looked forward to Halloween, because other than that, the girls mostly had to stay at home. Also, Gosh Brothers Dairy was right on here between on Selma Avenue between 10th and 11th Street. And that was a treat to go over there and get you some ice cream. Another thing we did on Sunday, the trolley, streetcar we called it, ran on Patterson Avenue. We go over there and get in the ride all the way around to Rider Court and ride all the way back. Going downtown window shopping was something we did on Sunday evening. That's the look in the windows. During that time, it wasn't all this thievery, so everybody could go down and just enjoy yourself looking in the windows, the simple things in life. And, of course, at this church, we had the Y Teens, we had the Girl Scouts, the Brownies, and Bible school lasted, I could have, like most churches have it for a week now, 2 or 3 hours. It was 2 weeks from 9 to 3. And some of the ladies here could sew, and they taught us how to make skirts and do a lot of things. And then we had BPYU on Sunday afternoon, which was for the Christian youth. And we go out there and we meet and have Bible study and have activities. So it really did take a community to raise a child. And all of us grew up happy, no fights, no nothing. Everybody lived peacefully. You mean when I was a child, don't you? Okay, you can ask me.
What's your fondest childhood memory?
My fondest childhood memory really is being with the lady that raised me, helping her cook, working in the grocery store, and greeting people as they came in.
What's your most favorite gift you received?
As a child?
Yeah.
Birthstone ring. When I was about 8. It was ruby. I was born in July.
Yeah. What kind of work have you done throughout your life?
I've been a nurse all my life. I worked at Burl Hospital for about 10 years. I worked at TAP for about 5 with the children. I've been with Blue Ridge Behavioral Health Care for 35 years. I'm still working part-time. I work with substance abuse and mentally ill and dual-diagnosed people.
Okay, who were your, well, you've talked about your role models. How has Roanoke changed over the years?
Well, from my perspective, it's gotten colder. Or maybe I've gotten so busy, I really haven't taken time. I think it's gotten colder. With integration, we are supposed to submerge and be one. That's what it's all about. But I think we've lost a lot of our culture. And the things that we have believed in as black people. I don't necessarily blame anyone for that. We've gotten so materialistic. And the father's out of the home. We have lowered our morals. We haven't been good mentors for our children. We have our children and our neighborhood has not been a priority for us. And I don't blame it on integration. I just blame it on the times. And I know I go back to the prom when I was a senior. Oh, I looked forward to the prom. I had such a good time. And now you have to almost have to beat kids to get them to go. I think they do too much too soon. I think my mother still had it. Miss Irene had me to come home at 12, and that was late for me. And, you know, I felt like she loved me, and she didn't have to raise me. I didn't come off her income taxes. I didn't come off anything. But she loved me, and I felt like she took me because she loved me. She didn't have to keep me. She did. And as a kid, I was always very obedient. I never got a whooping as a kid, never got a spanking because I knew she was in a wheelchair, and I feel like I was going to do everything I could to make her happy. When I was 12 years old, and she had a big old Packard car, and she would go downtown on the market and get all these eggs and stuff and bring them back to the store. I would clean up and try to do things to make her happy. Kids don't do that anymore. And I don't blame the kids. It's just the way they're raised. And as parents, we have to screen our kids' playmates at a very young age. And don't you think because Mary's running around with Jane, but Jane is having sex and smoking, but my child's not. Birds of a feather definitely flock together. And then you need to go back to the neighborhood. Whereas if you see my kid doing something, you can correct it and call me and tell me you won't get cursed out. We just changed our values, and everybody's so angry. And then father's out of the home. Father's back there was doing some of the same things, and mom's doing that, I guess. But if they did it discreetly. It wasn't just blamed out, and nobody knew anything about it. And then I think girls being able to go to the health department and get birth control. And they said they can do it anyway. But we got to start when they're young, teaching them right from wrong. And don't be so desperate for the attention that you're willing to just go ahead on and let it all go. It's just, we got to start somewhere. And if one child's in trouble, regardless of race, color, creed, all kids in trouble. It's not a white issue, a black issue, a Mexican issue. It's a human issue.